Can you feel it? It's that time. The NFL regular season is back. It's been a particularly long offseason for the Tennessee Titans and their fans, coming off a playoff-less 2022. So a longer break than folks have been accustomed to here in the Mike Vrabel era. But it is over. It's done. The Titans are headed to New Orleans on Sunday for the start of the 2023 regular season, and a season that, you know, it I guess outside of Tennessee, outside of the Titans fan base, there's not a lot of confidence in this team. I think there's more optimism inside the fan base, but certainly a sense of what could go wrong, but not necessarily a feeling that those things will go wrong. It's there is always, when you're 0-0, the chance that things could go really, really well, particularly if you stay healthy and get a couple breaks along the way. We'll see how that all plays out over the next 18 weeks. But in this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast, we are obviously going to focus on just this week and the Titans game against the Saints, with our usual lineup back together this week. Former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, how are you?
I'm doing good, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, how are you?
I am well. Hope you guys are too.
That is the consensus, I think. And I am David Beauclair. And let's start with a little bit of housekeeping here. Mike Vrabel announced on Wednesday that the players voted on team captains, and it's a big group this year. 7 captains, 3 on offense, 3 on defense, 1 from special teams. On offense, they are Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and Aaron Brewer, who I think would probably rank as a bit of a surprise. On defense, Kevin Byard, Jeffrey Simmons, Azeez Al-Shaair. Al-Shaair, of course, a newcomer to the team, but anyone who has seen or experienced his energy at practices, I think that that kind of explains his inclusion there. And then Morgan Cox, the long snapper, who was a Pro Bowler once again last year, is the special teams captain, or the special teams representative among the captains group, I will say. John, but before we get into a lot of other stuff, how surprising is Aaron Brewer to you? An undrafted guy a couple of years ago, not particularly successful, or certainly not as much as anybody hoped last year as left guard, moving to center this year. How much of that has to do with the position he plays, and how much of it has to do with, you think, that he is kind of commanding a group that includes a couple first round draft picks, and but is a completely remade group this offseason?
Yeah, I think there's probably a little bit of both involved there. You know, it's interesting. You know, we started taking a look at the roster today, and you think of Aaron Brewer as being relatively new, you know, to the Titans roster. He hadn't been here forever, but this roster has turned over so much, and so many of the longtime veterans, not all of them, obviously, but so many of them are gone, that Aaron Brewer, you know, ranks up there now in terms of longevity being here. I think he's very well respected as a guy who made the team, obviously, as an undrafted free agent. He's undersized for an offensive lineman. He's overcome that. And then naturally that position too, I think, commands certain leadership as well. You're in charge of the offensive line and helping them get lined up and picking out protections, you know, identifying defenses. And Mike Vrabel had also talked about how often Aaron Brewer, you know, was in the offseason meeting with the quarterbacks, you know, getting on the same page with the quarterbacks now that he's a center, and establishing those kind of relationships as well. And we know, we also know very well of Aaron Brewer's toughness. I think the quote that has long stuck with Aaron Brewer is Mike Vrabel's tough as a $2 steak comment. So, some respects, you know, he's certainly a new name in that group, but there's a lot of reasons, you know, to understand why he has been voted into one of the captain spots there.
Yeah, Denard, you certainly understand what a center's responsibility is better than the average fan does. The fact that a guy can go from being undrafted a couple of years ago to suddenly his first go round as a starting center to being named a team captain. And let's face it, we've talked a lot the last few weeks and months about concerns with the offensive line. Does the fact that his teammates view him in this regard make you feel a little better about the offensive line and what that unit can deliver this year?
Yeah, I'm excited. First of all, congratulations to Aaron Brewer. You know, it's hard enough to make this team as a draft pick, never alone an undrafted free agent. But what Aaron has been his entire career in Nashville, he's been consistent, John. How many times have we seen, well, and it happens, but an offensive lineman for the Titans that can play two positions? And he plays guard and he plays center. So when you're the center, you're making all of the calls. You make one call the wrong way, you get your quarterback head is going to get torn off. But what I also like about this move is the fact that it represents, at least to me, how not only he's been consistent, but when you look at this offensive line, you got four new starters. So you take Aaron, he's the only one you bring him back from last year. So this is also big. And I think what happens is Mike Vrabel, he kind of set the tone. And I think this is, he said, listen, this has been the one player that I've been able to depend on for years. And you need an offensive lineman. You got your captain, and he's on the offensive line, and that's the center. That's saying a lot, John and David.
Yeah, but you know, Ben Jones in recent years was a captain at times, wasn't a captain other times, but no question he was a leader. And Mike Vrabel, he says it every year that you know whether you're a captain or not, he wants guys to feel free to lead in whatever way they feel comfortable and they feel is effective. And the you know I sometimes question players' choices. You know I sometimes think guys will look to the players who talk the most and say, well, that's leadership. Anyone who has talked to Aaron Brewer knows Aaron Brewer is not a chatty guy, and he's not, you know, he's not running his mouth all the time. He's you know, this feels much, much more like a recognition of the work that he has put in, and it'll be it's you know, it's his offensive line now, as it should be, I think, for any starting center. So, you know, Denard, you talk about protecting the quarterback. We all know that the you know, in this business, the backup quarterback is always one play away from getting in there. We saw it happen with Ryan Tannehill a couple times last year, struggling with injuries. Going into this game, Mike Vrabel is not saying who is his number two, whether it's Malik Willis, whether it's the rookie Will Levis. Obviously, Willis played much more during the preseason, and you know, I think accomplished a lot. We talked about that a bit last week, but Denard, is there a competitive reason you think that Mike Vrabel wouldn't say this, or is this just, you know, a coach having his fun at the start of the season?
I wouldn't say it's competitive. I think it's a strategy, to be honest with you, because the most important position on a football field, on a football team, excuse me, is your backup quarterback. We saw that last year. They end up using what, two, and they didn't make the playoffs because Ryan got hurt. And so then you had to go on the street, and we know what happened after that, the Jacksonville game. But I think it's a strategy, because what you don't want is for the Saints to say, okay, listen, Malik Willis is going to be the backup quarterback. So how are we going to play him just in case? And you know that you got a 35-year-old quarterback that's coming off ankle surgery. So this is a team that if they're going to do anything, it might come down to the backup quarterback. But what you don't want to do is have the Saints saying, listen, if it's Malik, the backup quarterback, we want them second guessing. We don't want them to sit there and be watching the Houston film from last year, John and David and saying, listen, this is how we're going to play this young man. And when he comes in the game, we can look at what he's been doing in the preseason and saying this, he hasn't really evolved that much. So we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And if you're the defensive coordinator for the Saints, what you're going to do is say, this is how we prepare for him. But when you don't know who the going to be the backup quarterback, and let's just say something did happen, then what happens if you you end up preparing for Malik and you end up getting Will?
Yeah. And let's for the sake of clarity, let's review the quarterback rule this year. You can, we're back to the way it used to be in the NFL, where you can have an emergency third string quarterback on the roster who doesn't count against the actual game day roster unless, you know, but he's there if need be. Now the Titans could actually just say, no, we're going to have three quarterbacks among our was it 48 players on the game day roster, and then you don't have to worry about it. That's not going to happen. One of these two guys is going to be designated the emergency third string quarterback. John, do you think it's I mean, my feeling, I guess, is that it's almost certainly Willis who's the backup quarterback, and that because Willis offers you the opportunity to do some things from a schematic standpoint and you know, personnel packages and a couple plays to change things up. The Saints certainly have done that sort of thing for years with Taysom Hill, who they can line up at quarterback and do all sorts of crazy things with, and I think they've done it to good effect. You know, Willis and Levis are not the same type of quarterback, so just from that perspective, don't you think it makes more sense for Malik Willis to be the guy?
I think so. Yeah, from that standpoint, and also, let's face it, you know, Will Levis is a rookie who played very little in the preseason games. You know, he played approximately half the first preseason game, didn't play at all in the second and third preseason games, where really those are the only significant impressions that a guy can make, you know, as a rookie, aside from practice, and you know, you can't always judge from practice. So, you know, if it's not Willis here at number two, boy, you really have to wonder, you know, kind of, again, you're left in that spot wondering what Willis's long-term future is. And again, this is if he is not the number two guy, because basically, I think Vrabel would be saying that Malik Willis would have effectively played himself out of the number two spot through the preseason, you know, and we know that Malik Willis had some good numbers, you know, in the preseason, but he also, you know, he had mistakes too. He had a number of turnovers. He led the NFL in four preseason picks, tied for the NFL high with four fumbles in the preseason. So there was some good and some bad with Malik Willis, but just from the standpoint of him having a year in the system, from the improvement that I think he has shown from year one to year two, and the fact that he got so much more work in the preseason games than Will Levis did, I would be surprised if it is not Malik Willis at number two. And I agree with you, you know, if you have Malik Willis as number two, maybe you have a package or two, you know, designed in the game, you know, even if Ryan Tannehill is perfectly healthy, then Malik Willis comes in to run, you know, from time to time, just to change things up, just to, you know, keep the Saints on their heels a little bit.
And before we get into looking more closely at the Saints, let's say this, every NFL player knows, everybody says it every year, that after week one, nobody is at 100%. The week's first injury report was out. The Titans mostly healthy. The only players who were listed as partial participants in the first practice of the week were Harold Landry, Dylan Raidens, and Trey Avery. Raidens, of course, the offensive lineman, coming off reconstructive knee surgery late last year. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. Harold Landry, a little more than a year removed from reconstructive knee surgery. That's maybe a little surprising that they would try and slow him down, maybe, but I don't think there's any cause for concern. Avery's a guy who battled some injuries through the preseason a little bit. Denard, you know, speak to that. How good do players feel right now preparing for week one, and how different is that from the feeling at any other point during the season?
It's like night and day. Week one, you're fresh. You haven't really played. I mean, you look at the starters. How many snaps do they play in the preseason?
Virtually none for
Nine,
most
hardly
players.
any. Some of the skill guys, very few.
It's very few. So right now you're feeling amazing. Your body is ready to go. That's why guys are going 1,000 miles an hour on that first game of the season. The problem is that after week one, depending on how you come out of that game, you're gonna feel different. You got 17 weeks of this, David. It is one of the toughest experiences you will go through. It is mentally draining. It's physically, it takes its toll on your body physically. And this game, it's hard. That's why they call it a game of attrition. So right now, the greatest thing that the Titans got going for them is their health. And that's what we can look forward to Sunday against the Saints.
How often during the season do you wake up on Monday with pain that you didn't know you had Sunday? That, the adrenaline and everything carries you through, and you even get to bed and you're feeling okay, and then you get up and it's like, wow, my elbow or my shoulder or my knee or something really hurts. Does that happen quite a bit?
Yes, from week one to week 17. You will 17 weeks of that. So get ready for it. And guys, mentally, they get themselves geared that they know their body is going to go through a physical toll. So that's something that training camp kind of gets you prepared for, because when you go through the rigors of training camp, really what training camp is to it not only gets you ready for the season, but it gets your mind ready to go for that 17 weeks of the season.
John, I said I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that Dylan Raiden's maybe is they're being careful with him at this point. It wouldn't surprise me if he's one of the inactive players Sunday. That when everybody else on the offensive line is healthy, you can give this guy more time. Did you see any reason for concern with Harold Landry being held back a little bit at the start of this week, or everybody should feel comfortable with him at this point, do you think?
It was somewhat concerning to me, and just from what we saw today, out of practice in the small window that the media sees practice, Harold Landry was out there for stretch, and then he went inside afterwards. Certainly didn't look like there was any new injury. But what was interesting was that he was listed not with a knee injury. We expected, maybe that would be the case. Is he still working his way back? But it's an abdomen that had Harold Landry as a partial participant today. I think there's cause for a little bit of concern there, in that it's not the knee, which would have been, a full year, and you would have thought the knee, and apparently the knee is virtually completely healthy, but this appears to be something new that's bothering him. So we'll have to keep an eye on that as the week goes on. And the other thing that was a slight concern, on the injury report, I thought was Trey Avery. Cornerback had the dreaded hamstring injury, and I'm sure Denard can speak to that. As a defensive back with a hamstring injury, any skilled player really, boy, those things I would imagine are difficult to overcome. I mean, the best thing you can do is rest it, and there's not a whole lot of time to rest during the regular season. So to me, that's another one to keep our eye on, the dreaded, soft tissue injury, at a position like defensive back.
Yeah, and that was an issue last year, as we know, for a couple of guys on defense. But let's look ahead to the Saints and some of the challenges that they're going to pose. And as we look at New Orleans, we got to give a shout out to one of Denard's former teammates. Marcus Robertson is the secondary coach for New Orleans there. He has a good group. He has a stud, of course, in Marcus Lattimore. And I think Everybody wants to see how this Titans passing game is going to function this year. You know, what are we going to see from DeAndre Hopkins? How much better is Treylon Burks going to be? How much better is Chig Okonkwo going to be? Where does Tajay Spears factor into this sort of thing? It's there's a lot that you want to see with this group. So, Denard, let me ask you this: you know Marcus Robertson well. What is he going to be saying to his group? What do you think the basics of the Saints pass defense is going to be in terms of dealing with this group?
He's going to be saying what every other defensive back coach is saying: don't get beat, don't give up explosive plays, because that's how you get beat in this league. And he's got two great corners. You know, we talked a few years ago about Paulson Adebo out of Stanford. You know, I was talking about how he would be a great fit in the Titans organization. I know they were looking at him quite heavily, and he's an area young man out of Mansfield. He went to Stanford. Marshawn Lattimore, we don't need to talk about him. That's the Pro Bowler. You know, he's been one of the most consistent corners for years now. And then not to mention they got the Honey Badger at safety. So I know Marcus is loving that with Tyrann Mathieu. And then you got Marcus May. So they got a good young secondary. This defense is good. And you know what? Their front, we know about Cameron Jordan. We know what he's capable of doing, David. He can wreak havoc. I know he's getting a little older now. He's about, what, 34 years old, his 13th year. But he's a monster to deal with. So what Marcus is telling his players is, yeah, we know about D-Hop. We know what he's capable of doing. We don't know much about Treylon Burks, but we're going to get to know him quite well Sunday. And we know that these two receivers are explosive and they're big. And when you look at this unit, you're talking about Treylon. We know his ability to do what? He can top the defense. He's looking at that Green Bay game saying, listen, corners, you can't play like that. You can't play this guy aggressive. He's 6'3", he's 200-plus pounds, and we know about, and David, you talked about this when you talk about D-Hop. He's one of the best receivers when you talk about contested throws.
Yeah, and I believe I misspoke. I think I said Marcus Lattimore. It's, of course, Marshawn Lattimore, and I apologize to him. A Pro Bowl. You mentioned Cam Jordan. You say he's getting a little older, but this is a guy, 7-plus sacks in 11 straight seasons, which is absurd, you know, that you can be that consistent. And he's a guy when he's really good, the Saints are typically good. He's got 27 multi-sack games in his career, and they're 24-3 in those games. So, you know, as we look at this rebuilt Titans offensive line, as the Saints look at it, you know, they're looking for matchups that Cam Jordan can win. And if they find one, they will go back to it and try and exploit that as much as they can Sunday. And the Titans' ability to deal with him in that regard, I think, is going to be one of the big factors in this game. And say this, you know, now it's not like the Titans and the Saints play all the time, but they've played twice in recent years, certainly under in Mike Vrabel's tenure, 2019 and 2020. And Cam Jordan only has one career sack against the Titans, so things have gone well in that regard. John, as you look at that defense, and let's say this is a defense that was really good at the end of last year, held their last three opponents to 10 points, held their last eight opponents to 20 points or fewer. You know, how big a challenge is this for an offense that comes into the season with some obvious question marks?
Yeah, I think it's a real good test for the offensive line. You know, we talked about it before that there's so much turnover, obviously, in the offensive line. We're looking at left tackle at Andre Dillard, a guy with upside, but who really didn't play much at all last year. And all of a sudden, you know, he's occupying one of the most important positions on the field at left tackle. You know, over on the other side, right tackle, you've got a guy, kind of a veteran journeyman starting in Chris Hubbard. He's going to be tested too. Saints wound up last year with 48 sacks, tied for 50 in the NFL. Talked about some of the personnel. Cam Jordan had 8.5 sacks. Demario Davis, 6.5. Carl Granderson had 5.5. And it always, you know, it's that much more difficult to face that pass rush in the Superdome, you know, when you've got all that noise especially for a season opening game. That'll create some chaos on that offensive line too. So I think that'll be a major test. And then maybe, on the other side of the ball too, what was the biggest question for the Titans? Are they going to be able to stop passing attacks? And I think that's going to be a significant test too. Derek Carr is a good quarterback, established quarterback. We know that. Chris Olave had a great rookie season, 70 catches. Rashid Shaheed, another interesting name. I think he was a UDFA coming into last year, wound up averaging almost 18 yards a catch on like 28 catches. And then there's the kind of the question mark is Michael Thomas. He's missed a lot of the last 3 seasons, but if he comes back to anything close to what he used to be for when he had 4 years in a row of 90 plus catches, that's a pretty good receiving core coming at you. So we'll get a good idea, right away about how well the Titans have improved in being able to stop opposing passing attacks.
Yeah, and to your point about playing in the Superdome and certainly in week 1, the volume, the intensity, all that stuff is amped up right at the right out of the gate. The Saints have won their last 4 home openers, which is the longest such streak in franchise history. They're looking to make it 5 in a row. Dinard, John mentions Derek Carr, a proven established quarterback in this league, hasn't won big games, but certainly has played and won a lot of games. He is the new, he gets a change of scenery, a new surrounding cast and everything, replacing Jameis Winston. If you're a defensive back planning for the Saints right now, how big a challenge is Derek Carr versus maybe what Jameis Winston presented in recent years?
Well, look at last year's game against Las Vegas. that's all you have to do when you're prepared. But Derek, David, let's not forget, D. Carr is just what a couple years removed from signing a $100 million contract. Nobody pays you that much money unless you can play. And let's realize that he is 3-2 against the Titans all time. And what I love about D. Carr, now he's got a new coat, what I like, new fresh paint job. I like to call it going down to the Big Easy now and down in Louisiana. But he's got some new weapons. And this is going to be interesting, John and David. This game is all about matchups. And we know statistically last year, the Titans secondary didn't play very well. Now, when they go down to the Big Easy, what they like to call it in the Big NO is there's a new car that's been it's been kind of got some new parts to it. It's called a Michael Thomas, and that car is fast. So,
Rebuilt, a rebuilt engine, if you will.
it's rebuilt, but same paint job. And what's interesting about this, now he joins up with Chris Olave. This is a dynamic duo, but this way, this might be the game changer, John. We know that defensively, Titans, they're number two against the run last year. They were stingy. You got arguably the best interior lineman in the game in the big dog, Big Jeffrey Simmons. But they did get Jamal Williams in free agency. Now, he is a beast. I don't know what Detroit was thinking letting him go. And I know they don't have really the biggest piece in that franchise is Alvin Kamara. He would be out of the game for suspension. But man, I'm gonna tell you something. They got some players around him, and if you Derek Carr, you got a new ensemble. So it's gonna be interesting how he uses those pieces Sunday.
Yeah, the big thing I think is, the Titans are looking to create havoc with rushing only 4 or 5 guys. They don't want to have to they don't want to have to blitz a whole lot if they don't have to, particularly to your point, Dinard, in this one. The challenge is going to be getting to Derek Carr because of his experience. The ball is going to come out quickly, and I almost feel like this is it's going to be the same thing on both sides of the ball, because the Titans offensive line, they're not going to be perfect in their first game playing together, this unit. There's going to be times where Ryan Tannehill is going to be under duress, and they're he's going to have to get rid of it. I almost feel like run after the catch is going to be the statistic in this game, because both teams have receivers who can do it, and you've got two veteran quarterbacks who can read coverage quickly, who can feel the rush coming. They will get the ball out if one secondary doesn't tackle nearly as well as the other and gives up a bunch of run after the catch yards. I think that's where this game is going to be decided. And it's one of those things where it could be, the momentum could flip very quickly one way or the other with that sort of play. Week one can be tough to predict sometimes, and there are going to be some mistakes. And I think the one mistake neither team can afford to make here is missed tackles in the particularly in the passing game, because you've got guys who are going to make you pay if you do that. Let's not forget old man Jimmy Graham there either, a guy who, if he's got anything left in the tank for New Orleans, he can add something too. It's funny, their offense didn't look that exciting last year in the first season under Dennis Allen, as compared to what it's been under Sean Payton, but it feels like there's a lot there. We'll certainly see how it all plays out. As we're getting towards the end here, I guess it's week one, so it's time to start taking a little bit of the longer term view. Prediction. What would the sports world be without predictions? I guess is the way to put it. So, John Glennon, we're going to start with you. How do you see the AFC South shaping up this year? And what do you think? Where do the Titans finish? What is their record ultimately when all is said and done?
All right,
why?
There's so much newness, obviously, in the AFC South. Especially with the Texans and the Colts. You've got rookie quarterbacks. You've got new coaches. So I think the Titans and Jaguars are going to be the teams that kind of primarily battle it out for that division crown. And I don't think the Jags are necessarily leaps and bounds above the Titans, and we saw last year in that final game that was so close despite the Titans missing so many personnel. But I'll still give the Jaguars the edge. I like the fact that they're also adding Calvin Ridley, to what was already a pretty potent offense, a lot of weapons last year. So I'll give them a little bit of the edge. And then as I look overall in terms of maybe the Titans schedule, I've been waffling back and forth, either maybe a 9-8, or I could go up to 10-7, which would certainly represent some progress from last year. I have to figure injuries aren't going to be as bad, right? 3 years in a row, we can't possibly
can't
see a stretch like that. I mean, right?
It seems unthinkable. We'll put it that way.
It does. Yeah. So I've got the Titans sweeping the Colts and the Texans, splitting with the Jaguars. I'll go ahead and I'm gonna be generous. I feel like especially compared to what I suspect David will probably say, but I'm gonna go with. We'll go with 10-7 for the Titans, and certainly a potential playoff. Even though I have them finishing behind the Jags in the AFC South.
All right, Denard, can you top that? Are you gonna give fans reason to believe that the Titans can get back to their winning ways this year?
Well, John kind of took my answer. Look right here, I got 10-7 right here. So,
look at that.
Kidding. And I was being very generous. I thought 11-6. I said, well, they have too many. There's too many new pieces to this team. You're talking about a rebuilt offensive line. You got four new starters. And we said Aaron Bruin has been your most consistent player. And he's the only returning player, to be honest, on that offensive line. You do have you got the king back. So as long as you got the king, you're okay. The receiving core is better. That's what I like about this team. I actually, David, I believe that they can stay healthy. Unlike last year, I think this is a team. Well, I don't think they can go 11-6, but I do believe 10-7 will be a pretty good record for this team this year. So I got them 10-7.
Yeah, I almost see this season playing out in reverse to last year. I think this team will be much better at the end of the year than it is at the beginning. I think there will be growing pains with that offensive line. I think Ryan Tannehill and DeAndre Hopkins will take some time to sort it out. I want to see Derrick Henry run. There's no question that he's getting older. He the age seemed to be catching up with him just a little bit last year. So you figure, is it just a little bit more this year, or is it suddenly a lot? I mean, I think under Mike Vrabel, this team's never going to be horrible. Like, this is the, you're not going to have a 3-14 team, and not that this is a 3-14 roster either, but I'm unlike you, John. I think the division's a little better. I'm high on D'Amico Ryans and what he could mean to the Texans, and it feels like for the first time in several years down there, they have a plan. And you saw what they did on draft day, getting two of the top three players in the draft and going from there. So I think Jacksonville's clearly the best team. I think Jacksonville has so much momentum from last year. They're gonna kind of get free of the pack early, and then I think kind of the way Jacksonville ran down the Titans last year, I think the Titans will be trying to chase them down this year, and the team's relative health will factor into that. But I also think Houston's going to be nipping at the Titans' heels if they're not careful. So I think the division's going to be a little more challenging than most people think. I'm gonna say 8-9, 9-8 right there for the Titans, and probably just out of the playoff picture when all is said and done.
You sure you want to show?
Well, if I remember right, David, you were certainly the most conservative last year of the
And
pickers, and
and I even had to apologize, remember, after the Kansas City game, because I said no way was my prediction right. And I think I predicted 7-10 last year. Maybe it was 8-9, but after they went to Kansas City and lost, I said, well, there's no way this team's not going to have a winning record and everything at that point. So whatever happens this year, I'm sticking to my guns all the way through. It's 7-10. Having said that, I don't want to leave people feeling down about that, because as I said, I think by the end of this, you're going to say, okay, that's a 7-10 that makes me feel really good about 2024, unlike last year, seven straight losses at the end sort of left everybody like, oh God, what's to come now? I think this is the start of a building back process. So real quickly, we just have a little bit of time. Who's winning Sunday? Real quickly, John Glenn, Titans or Saints?
I think this is going to be an opening L for the Titans, as I did my schedule and came out with my 10-7 record. I think this is a loss. Yeah, I think there's a lot of newness to the Titans. I think, as you said, David, probably get a little bit of time before some of these things are clicking, on all cylinders. It's a tough place to go to win a game, especially in an opener in the Superdome. There'll be some unpredictability about the Saints, obviously, with a new quarterback in there that you might have to get adjusted to. So yeah, I'll take the Saints.
Denard, Titans or Saints?
Man, I gotta go Saints, David. I hate to say that, but I'm gonna go Saints. They're playing in the Super. Oh no, in the Superdome too. Oh, I got the Saints.
And that's the way I feel. There's so many more reasons to think the Saints win this game, which is why I'm going to say the Titans. It seems like Mike Vrabel pulls these games out of his hat time and time again. So I'm going to say the Titans win it. We will see Sunday. We will be back to talk to you next week on Believe on Titans podcast. Thank you as always for listening.